Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Peter 1, verses 13 to 25. 1 Peter 1, verses 13 to 25. Where we read these words, 1 Peter 1, verse 13, therefore preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that we brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at times I'll be returning home late at night, and as a return, sometimes one reflects on the society in which we live and how we are to be a witness to that society. How can we proclaim what we have to the so many who don't want anything to do with what we know in Christ Jesus? I'll be coming back home on the QEW, and I'll pass by Jordan. And the Village of Hope has placed a great big sign just by the highway where it says Hope. So you come home at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, and suddenly, in the midst of the darkness, you see that sign, Hope. And that's what we have. In the midst of much darkness within our society, in the midst of much lawlessness, in the midst of those who have rejected Christ and they live so obviously by the lie, we can proclaim truth, and we can proclaim hope. The hope that we have in Christ. The hope that he has granted to us through his blood, the blood shed on the cross of Calvary. That he has liberated us from our sins, our liberation, our hope for liberation. And then that call, as we have also here in Peter, that call to obedience, to continue to live rightly in the society in which the Lord has placed us at this time. For we are not a people that live by chance. We don't talk about luck, good luck or bad luck. We're not just here because that's the way it is, and living out our lives desperately without knowing where we're going or what's going to happen. But we live because we believe that God had predestined us, even before the foundation of the world, to live before his face, to receive Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and to live at this time, in this world, in this place, for his glory and for his honor. So as we come to the book of Peter, the question that's before us is, how are we to live? How are we to live at this time? How are we to fulfill our callings, the places that God has called us to live out our lives? How are we to do that which he wants us to do? And Peter comes to us and he counsels us. He directs us in how we are to live. And first of all, he says in verse 13, talking about that hope that we have in Christ Jesus, for he says, set your hope fully in the grace that was brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, with the knowledge that we have, Peter says, therefore, what's that knowledge that he has? Well, that's where he takes us back to the beginning of chapter 1, verse 3, where he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then he says these words, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. What is our hope? Our hope is that we are in Christ, that he has granted us the hope of the resurrection, that one day we will be with him forever. As we live now, we look forward to the expectation when we will be with our God and with our Lord forever in the most heavenly places. That is our hope. In the midst of death and dying, we can proclaim life in Jesus Christ, a life that is guaranteed by his word and through his spirit. As it says in verse 5, who by God's power being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this we rejoice. We know that we have been saved by him. So with that knowledge of this hope, this salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, Peter says very clearly, therefore, preparing your minds for actions. There's a battle for your mind. We think, well, what's our mind? That which we think with. And Paul's and Peter's saying, we have to prepare that mind. We have to get ready for that mind. We ought not to live lives that are mindless. We must prepare our thoughts. Every thought that we have must be captive by our Lord. Our thoughts must be God's thoughts. We must think God's thoughts after him. But then we ask, how can we do that? Because I think when we drive our cars, when we're at our work, our minds can just wander. We can think of so many different things, and we can find that our mind goes to places where it ought not to go. The Apostle Paul speaks about that in Ephesians when he says the following words in Ephesians 4, verse 17, where he compares the mind of Christ, the mind that we have received in Christ, with the mind of this world, where he says these words, now I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the what? In the futility of their minds. Their minds are futile. They think, but they think useless thoughts. It's the thoughts of this world. No longer walk as Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. And isn't that the age in which we live? People thinking vain, useless, futile thoughts, impure thoughts, impure practices, sensuality, greedy, do all that against that which our Lord has taught us. But Paul says, but that is not the way you have learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and are taught in him as a truth in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. So as he comes then to Peter, he says, therefore, preparing your minds. That's the way of the world. That's the way that the Gentiles live. They live in the futility of their minds, but we must prepare our minds. How? To be in Scripture, to be in the Word, to be directed through the Holy Spirit, that we may study that which God has called us to know, that our minds may be prepared to think God's thoughts and to live according to His will. To not be conformed to this world, but to be conformed to that which is of our God. So preparing your mind for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully, to find our hope in our life fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we've read those words many times, I'm sure you have, and yet our minds can easily wander. Because we have three mortal enemies. We have the devil who roams, as Peter says, as a lion looking for whom he can devour. He seeks to destroy us. He presents us to the lie. He seeks to distract us. He says, why? Why fight it? Why not just go with the flow, go with society? And we can find ourselves so easily enticed to do that, to think that which is contrary to the Word of God. But Peter says, set your hope fully on the knowledge that you have been saved, not by the works of our hands, not by what we're doing, but by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has saved us, not by what we're doing, but by His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. In other words, keep your mind on Christ and what Christ has attained on the cross of Calvary. When Satan comes tempting us to turn aside, and when we see the world around us more and more lawlessness and seeking to quench the voice of Christ, and again we ask ourselves, why fight it? But when you feel these sinful desires that Paul speaks about in Ephesians rising up inside us, then Peter calls us to look to Christ. He died on the cross of Calvary for the complete remission of all of our sins. We are to keep our eyes focused on Him and on Him alone. So set your hope fully on the grace we brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Don't slide back. It's talked about in the book of Hebrews, those who slip away, they slide back into the life that lived before us, the Israelites in the desert, looking back to Egypt, the life that they lived there. It was better there, they said. There's nothing here in the desert. We're not going anywhere. And they lose their trust in God, they lose their trust in the Word of God proclaimed by Moses, and they long to go back to slavery, back to Egypt. That can happen so easy in our own lives as well. That Satan comes and he tempts us. Why? Why not go back? Why not be like our society? Why not enjoy yourself? Why do you have to go to the Lord? What's in it? You're in a desert. You're lost. Your only hope is in this world. And yet Peter says to look to Jesus. To trust that grace that we have, to set your hope fully in the grace that brought you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then he talks about that obedience. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. To be separated from this world. This world with all of its impurities, with all its hate, with all its rages, with all its lies, to be separated from that and to be dedicated to our God, to live for Him, to live for His glory and for His honor. To be holy. Why? Because our God is a holy God. When we think of heaven, how do we get into heaven? So many think, well, there's a better place and I'll go to this better place because I'm not so bad as that person. I live more or less a good life and I'm sure that God will receive me because of the life that I'm living. But heaven is a place where there is no sin, where there is no impurity. And as we get to know ourselves, we know that we have sinned, that we have fallen short, that we have broken God's commands. But yet heaven is a place where there is no sin. And should God let us into his most holy place with the sins that we have, the only way to be holy is be saved through the blood of Christ, be washed through his blood of all of our impurities, of all of our sins, that we may be indeed dedicated to him and be declared holy by his blood, that we can live for his honor and for his glory. So then you shall be holy, for I am holy. We are to be obedient. We are to seek to live in the strength of our Lord and our Savior. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. As we think of these words, be holy as I am holy, we are to call on the Father, to call that he may grant us strength, that we may live before him. As we look at God's commands, and as we look at our own thoughts, and we think, as we strive to bring our thoughts in line with what God has presented us in his word, we must look to the Father and pray that he may grant us the strength through his Holy Spirit so we can indeed carry out our lives to be obedient to him, to be obedient to his command, to separate ourselves from that which is wrong, that which is sinful, and to seek to walk in a way that's good and pleasing in his sight. For it is only possible through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, through the helper of the Father, with our eyes fixed upon Jesus as our Lord, that we can indeed live a life that's for his glory and for his honor. In our own strength, we'll fail. And how often have we sought to do God's will or to live a good life in our own strength? And as we struggle and as we strive, we find that the world is too strong for us. Our own sinful passions dominate us. And so Peter is saying, go to the Father, pray to the Father, pray that he may grant you the strength through his Spirit to live a life that's good and pleasing in his sight, because it's all by God. It's all through him. It's all by his power that we can indeed live a good and pleasing life before his face. And then Peter comes to us in verse 18, and he says these words, knowing that you are ransomed, that you are bought, that you are liberated from the futile ways, that you are saved from the futile ways. And here it says, from the ways that we inherited from your forefathers, and especially those who are new in the faith, who've been raised in homes that were not Christian homes, neither their fathers, their parents, nor their grandparents or their great-grandparents were Christians. And then they come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. We think of the Gentiles in the time of Peter, those who had lived in darkness, without hope, without life, without knowledge, living in the ignorance and the futility of their minds, and the knowledge of Christ Jesus comes to them. That knowledge that there is hope in darkness, that there is a God in heaven, and that we can go to heaven. There is a way, but it's not by what our hands have done, but it is through Christ Jesus our Lord. And again, as we think about the society in which we live, where there's so many who do not know God at all. They lived their hopeless lives. They come from different nations, and there never has been a proclamation of the Word of God, and they inherit futile ways of living. They live in their sensuality. They live in their desires. They do that which they have been taught to do, which is contrary to what God has told us to do, to bring out that hope. There is hope, but it's found in God alone. There is a word for us that we can hear, but it's found only in Scripture. You have to read the Bible. You have to meditate upon it. You have to learn it, so you can be liberated ransomed from the futile ways that you have inherited from your fathers. But then Peter comes and says, but it's not by what so many religions teach us, by the works of your hands, what you are doing, the money you pay, the good deeds that you do, the striving to seek to do, to help others, or to do whatever, to do traditions. But it's through the precious blood of Christ, not by silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. At a certain time, Peter says, Christ Jesus was presented to you, and that was not by chance. That was decided. Even before the foundation of the world, each single Christian, chosen by God, predestined by God, to have salvation through the blood of Christ, to live a just and holy life in this world. It's not by the works of our hands, but we've been called by Christ Jesus to belong to Him, to live in Him, that we may live according to His word in the strength of His Spirit. It's all by God. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory. So your faith and your hope are in God. And then Peter comes and calls us again to obedient living. For he says in verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, having purified your soul, having come to God, having come to our Lord to repent of our sins, to look to Jesus, to ask for salvation in Jesus, to turn our lives over to Him, put our hearts in His hands, to ask that He may be our God, that we may be His people. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. The love that God has called us to do. My work, I write to people that say, I don't need to go to church. I can be a Christian in my home. I can read the Bible with my family. Or I am a Christian, I believe in God. Where do you go to church? I don't go to church. I don't need to go to church. But we find those words nowhere in Scripture. Instead, we're called to love one another. How loving can we be to our fellow believers by staying home? Wow. I've gone to church, they'll say. There's no love there. All they do is fight and bicker. And so they decide that they're not needed there, or no one loves them there. And I'll say, well, they need you there. If you know so much about love, love those people. Because love suffers, is patient, it's kind, it extends its hands, it seeks to love the other. We're so different from each other, but God has called us together that we may help each other, that we may show forth Christ's love one to another, because out there isn't Christ's love. We live in the midst of a world that defines love as hate and hate as love. It knows not of Christ's love. But if Christ has come into our heart, if He has shown to us through the cross of Calvary, His love and His truth, how much must we seek to love each other and seek to cover over the sins of others through the repentance and love of Christ Jesus, to bring the other brother, the weaker brother, that he too may repent and believe in Jesus Christ and follow him faithfully. And said in verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. verse 23, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. God has granted us the knowledge of Christ Jesus to love one another as he has loved us. And then we have these words from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 to 8. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls. We live our lives where God has placed us in this world, and we live, as Isaiah says, and Peter repeats, as the grass of the field. The grass grows, it's green, dryness comes, the rain stops, the grass dries, the winds blow, grass withers, it dies, and is no more. In many ways, that's a description of life that we live in this world in our flesh. But at the same time, we have these words of hope. But the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the word that he has granted us to hear is forever. Christ forever. The life of Christ forever. Our hope in Christ forever. We are here but for a time. But we proclaim that hope that is forever. That word that is forever. And Peter says, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. To take that word, to embrace that word, to embrace that hope, to live in that hope, to live in that hope in this world where the Lord has placed us, and to live out that hope, to love one another, to seek to live a life that's good and pleasing before his face, to set our mind, to be sober-minded in Christ Jesus, seeking to live a life that's good and pleasing in his sight. May our Lord grant us that ability to live for his glory and for his honor in this time in which we live. Amen. Let's come to our God in prayer. Our Father, we come to you. We gather before your throne. We pray that you may indeed grant us the ability to set our minds upon you at all times. Because our minds can wander and think futile thoughts and go so far into that which is ungodly, unholy, that which is of this world, this sinful world. We can listen to the lie. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that you may be with us and that you may grant us all that we stand in need of, that you may again forgive us our sins and grant us eyes to see Jesus, to look upon him, to gaze upon him, to realize he is our hope and he is our salvation. Bless us, O Lord God, each one of us, we pray, in Jesus' name.